Do you really think, whether it's in a robot, some android, something, just a computer, that we're going to be able to get emotion out of these machines?
I think so, because, again, if you think that we're sort of simulated on neural hardware right now, we're sort of simulated on this wet 3-pound mass in our head, the idea of a memory, maybe you could accept that better than emotions, but I would think that emotions also could be simulated. And that's not to diminish emotions or diminish spiritual feelings, because, you know, maybe all our brain states are dependent on our brain. It doesn't diminish them. It says that's the way they're embodied, but there can be very profound states embodied, you know, whether it's running on your wet brain or something like a computer, which might be a dry brain.
If we create emotion for a machine, then we're giving them it free will, aren't we?
Well, there's two ideas. One is, can we simulate ourselves with emotions on a machine? And now you're saying, can we make artificially intelligent things that have emotions? And again, I think we should be able to, because if the mind is based on these patterns, I'll go back to that weird analogy. You could simulate you and me in bicycle parts that are interacting and turning. Now, you might need something the size of Jupiter to have enough bicycle parts to simulate you and me thinking. But, you know, if we could simulate a single brain cell, why not simulate 10 or 100 or 1,000 all chattering and interacting to create something that has thought?
Cliff, don't you think this could be dangerous if they do this?
Well, lots of technology has a risk. You know, nanotechnology, where we are able to engineer little tiny things at the microscopic level. Some people have worried that, well, what if they got out and started self-replicating and took over the planet? What about the rise of machine civilization? What about people being addicted to Second Life, this virtual universe? Everything has its risks. On the other hand, what will likely happen is that the line between human and machine will become blurred. We'll replace a little piece of our mind to help us with our memory. You know, already with Parkinson's disease and epilepsy and even depression, there's something called a brain pacemaker that can help us. So we'll gradually possibly start replacing pieces of our brain, make us happier, make us clearer, get rid of Alzheimer's disease. And then there might not be one moment where we say, wow, the machine civilization has risen. It'll be us becoming one with the machines. And although there are risks, think of the fact that it could eliminate suffering, eliminate disease. Think of the millions of dollars that we have to worry about devoting to Alzheimer's patients. So like with all technologies, there's good and bad, but I take the more hopeful outlook.
It's almost as if the entire human species could become obsolete in place of these machines.
You could think about it obsolete, or you could think of it as being elevated. You know, right now, I like to always use the analogy of the gorilla and the human. You know, if you look at our brain, our 3-pound mass, look at the gorilla's brain, you plot them in front of you, they're not all that different. But we can think so many more things than a gorilla could think. We could think about calculus and black holes and poetry, symbolic logic, just with that little bit of extra brain tissue.
And wars and murder and crime and
yes,
corruption.
Yes, apes can have wars and murder. But just I'm trying to say that
sounds
just
like we're
a small
defective
bit of brain tissue, we can think so many things. Now, in the future, maybe with a little bit of computer augmentation, we'll be able to think totally new thoughts. You know, we'll be removing a veil, a shield. So you could worry about the dangers, but I'm still trying to be optimistic about it and say that we'll be able to think new thoughts, live longer. Hopefully life will be happier and fuller.
All right, let's not talk about the uploading of your entire memory. But what if science created a chip that could enhance your brain capability? What do we use, 10% maybe of our brain power? What if they were able to get you to 50 or 60%, which would increase memory? Here's an example. Rather than go to school to learn how to speak 15 languages or even two, they would put the chip in so you'd be able to speak Spanish or Russian or Italian instantly. I mean, instantly. You'd say to yourself, I don't know how I do it, but I just do. I mean, you know what it's like in our specific trades. The more you do it, the better you get. You don't know how you got to that point other than you've done it so much. What about the possibilities of that, where these chips are implanted in us to really make us incredible human beings, beyond even computers?
Well, I talk about that in the Heaven Virus. You know, we could augment our memories. We could do calculations faster. And you wouldn't say, if I could hook in a little module into my brain that could help me do math a little quicker, you would say, well, that's still you. You haven't really changed your humanity. Of course, if you did that more and more and more, you may wonder more and more. But I think that's what the future holds. You know, if you look at Google and the Internet, in a way, we all have access to this rapid extra brain. You know, right now we might have to type a query into the computer and figure out, you know, get some information. But Google is great for that. In the future, maybe we'll have more immersive access. And like you say, maybe it'll be easier to earn a language.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you want to play Mozart all of a sudden. You know, I don't play the piano, but with the right chip, who knows what I can do?
I think what that does to the sense of, you know, who you are, though, right? All of a sudden, what if your memories are altered slightly? What if you change your memories because of something traumatic happened in the past? At what point do you cease being you? That's a good question.